Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to the book of Exodus in chapter 14. Where is recorded one of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea, and also the miracle of God's working in a people to go forward and to walk through the dry ground of the parted sea. We're going to read the first 18 verses of Exodus 14 as follows. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth and between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And what follows in Exodus is the account of God's doing exactly as he promised, showing himself the Almighty God of his covenant, of his people, and of his own glory. The parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh and his host, and the leading of his people to the other side. The word that we want to hear on the eve of another year is the word of our text in Exodus chapter 14, and the last word of verse 15, forward. Moses is told by God to tell the children of Israel to go forward. And indeed here, according to the typology of the Old Testament, and according to the wonderful relevance of the Word of God, we find in here the church's marching orders, forward. Forward. And what God means by forward, this is what we want to hear as we stand at the brink of another year, Church of Jesus Christ. And I would point out to you, as we shall in the sermon, that there are many ways to go forward into this new year. many ways which are being suggested and recommended to us by a whole world full of counselors. Many ways in which we are told to make resolutions to improve our life, to survive not only, but to make progress. So the world tells us how to diet, that we should diet, how to work harder, what to buy, when to sell, and to do whatever pleases ourselves and makes us advance up the corporate ladder, or at least advance in our own happiness. God here, in this word through Moses, would tell the church of all ages the one way to go forward, the way of faith. Faith is the way that we shall go forward. And I preach to you that, because that is the call of all time. And now, as we consider as creatures of time, just what is our first calling? Our first calling is to believe in God as we advance into another year. Faith is and shall be greater than optimism. It is the precise certainty of that thing that God gives called faith that joins us to Himself in Jesus Christ. It is certainty of the presence of God and of the blessing of God. Faith leads us in the way of looking to God for help. It leads our children the same way. It leads us in all of our predicaments and problems. It leads us in the way of godliness. Faith reminds us that the way forward is giving glory to God. It is the way forward, as Israel of old, of standing at the shores of whatever Red Sea is in front of us. It is the way forward to the promised land. And so, beloved in Jesus Christ, in 2018, at the dawn of this year, this New Year's Eve, hear not me, but God. Maybe there's some problem in your life. Maybe the problem is sheer unbelief in the normal things of life. But you need to hear, as do I, the way forward. Believe in God. God's saying, forward, my people. Go forward, my children. Go forward, my beloved. Go forward, and I will be with you. Go forward, though it be a Red Sea, and though you must go through a waste howling wilderness. Go forward, and I will be with you to bless you and lead you closer to me and to heaven. And so we want to consider tonight the command of God through Moses, forward. 3 points. First, along what path? Secondly, in what manner? And finally, with what great expectation, with specific application to 2018? What shall we be expecting in 2018 of our great God? Well, the way forward is simple, as we are told in the context of our text. The way forward for Israel is the way forward for any church that is true, any believer that is true, any married couple that is married in the Lord. The way forward is the way away from Egypt and to the promised land. It's very simple, isn't it, children? That's clearly what Moses is being told to say to the people, to command them, as he is told to command them at the Red Sea to go forward through the Red Sea. The Egyptians are behind them. The Red Sea is in front of them. And on the other side of the Red Sea, through the wilderness, is the land that God has promised to give them. Israel, we need to know and be reminded of, once again, is typical of the church. Wonderful way of that God has revealed the truth of the gospel is revealing in the Old Testament things called types and shadows. So their pictures are things in the Old Testament, like Israel, the nation. the one nation under God, of the church that will be gathered from every nation. Her Egypt is a picture of the bondage that we all have in our birth, in sin and in death and depravity. And the Pharaoh of Egypt is a picture of the devil, who's the prince of this world. And so Israel, here representing the church, must go away from Egypt and to the promised land. Why? Simply because she does not fit in Egypt. The church does not fit in the communion of devils. The church has no fellowship with devils. You have no fellowship with devils. Righteousness has no fellowship with unrighteousness. Christ has no fellowship with Belial, the devil. Indeed, at this point, Israel's standing there, some 600,000 strong, but they're not very strong. And besides, there's a mixed multitude of Egyptians and others who've come out, and this will plague the people of God almost without end, incessantly throughout the wilderness wandering. This people is weak. They've been corrupted by 430 years of bondage of living in Egypt, the last of which were in bondage to slavery, and they've learned the Egyptian ways. And pretty soon in the book of Exodus and also Number, there will be records of 10 great complaints of Israel, tempting the Lord, testing him, complaining of God's mediator Moses and Aaron and Miriam and so on. And there'll be this indicating that this people really is Egyptian in its nature. The fact is, however, they are God's covenant people. And that's the thing to be remembered here as we consider this first point of the sermon. Israel, for all of its unbelief, is called by God my people. Repeatedly, they are distinguished, as they had been in the 10 plagues, from the Egyptians, even though they're sinful, and they will show themselves unworthy of entering the promised land, and a whole generation will have to be destroyed because they believe not the promises. Nevertheless, they are named the people of God, the children of God. And just think of it. At this point in their history, they've been redeemed. They're not only chosen of God, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are redeemed. The last of the mighty plagues was the blood of the Passover lamb, slaying the firstborn of man and of beast of the Egyptians. But that blood, or the angel of death slaying the Egyptians, but the angel passing over the door, the houses of the Egyptians, because the blood of the lamb had been sprinkled on the doorposts and the door sills. They are redeemed. And that is typical of redemption in Jesus' blood. Besides that, as the people of God, they are those renewed by God. So God has saved them for himself, and he saved his own among them in the heart. And so they are as we. The Israelites at the Red Sea, they stand for the church of Jesus Christ, God's elect, redeemed by Jesus' blood, renewed in the Holy Spirit. In fact, we have here at this crossing of the Red Sea by the people redeemed by the blood, an outstanding example of the principle of all Christianity in the blood, in the people of the promise who had not yet received the promise. The Old Testament picture of what it is to be the people of God, centered in the Savior Jesus, the captain of the host not only, but the Lamb whose blood is shed for them, the principle of Christianity. And we have to take also into 2018 is this. We have our identity in God's Son. We are His possession. We are not Egyptian. We are not American. We are not Italian, Dutch, or whatever else you go by. We are those who are Christian, God's people, who know the wonderful Counselor Jesus Christ. So we're the people of the kingdom of heaven. We don't fit in Egypt, which represents Babylon, which represents all of the world and the kingdom of darkness that's against the people of God, that would hold the people of God in bondage. We don't belong there. Our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven. We are the people of God, and the promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and Israel was his by promise. So that's the first thing. We are to go away from Egypt. Now, we are not Egypt. And so now, secondly, we are to go away from Egypt and toward the promised land. So I've said that the principle of Christianity and of true religion is set forth by the identity of the people, the Israelites, who are not Egyptians. They are Israelites. They are God's people at the Red Sea. Now, the process of Christianity is indicated in this word, forward. You are my people, God says to them. God speaks to them through Moses, the mediator he has appointed to lead them to Christ and to faith in him. And now there's a process. There's a way of you, or way for you, that I have in store for you. It's called going forward. Now, I want to say to you tonight that this is simply this: the working out of our own salvation with fear and trembling, our sanctification in the light of the Word of God and of who God is and of who we are. This is the calling, go forward. The people that's redeemed must now go forward and be rid of Egypt forever. The people that are redeemed must go forward and through the wilderness to get to the promised land. The people of the old covenant must go to Sinai, and they must be established and instituted at the people as the people who are the kingdom of priests. And all of God's people must be sanctified as the people of God being readied for heaven. And so this is the necessary way. It's not something that's optional. God doesn't say to Moses, speak to the children of Israel a good suggestion. I suggest to you that you tell them to go forward. Maybe, if they so want. No, he says, tell them this. This is what I command to them. Tell them, go forward. And so this is the command to us. If we would be Christian, we must go forward. There must be no standing still. There must be no going back. These things are impossible and even unthinkable. If we are God's, we detest Egypt. If we are God's, we trust God, and we love the promises, and we want to go to heaven. Because the greatest thing about heaven is not that we get to do what we want, but we get to worship God perfectly. And so this is all here pictured. Again, we can't go back. He says, go forward. It's impossible that we go back. It's impossible that we who are saved by grace should continue in sin any longer, as the Apostle Paul speaks of the antinomian heresy. It's impossible. It's contrary to who we are. We simply cannot be Egyptian because we're Israelites, indeed, if we be God's people. And there's something about sin that we hate, even when we sin. Do you know that? And I hope that you experience this in 2018, when you sin, and you will, that you hate it. That's a mark of a Christian, a mark of someone who's alive. You hate the sin that remains, and you love righteousness that God gives you to do. So it's contrary to our nature and contrary to our love of God and the holiness that he's begun in us and the Holy Spirit who has made us his temple, that we would love the things of the temple of Baal or of Ra or of all the other gods of the Egyptians. And so we cannot go back, but nor can we sit still. God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel to go forward. You see, they cannot sit still because the Egyptians are coming after them, a whole host of them, and Pharaoh, and they're not going to sit still. And that's exactly the way it is with the devil today. If you think you can sit still as a Christian and be smug and content and sit back and drink a beer and be a Christian, just whatever, it doesn't really matter. And that maybe in the name of grace, you got something else coming to you. Because you see, Christian, you are alive. And if you are alive, Christ lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, He causing you to grow. And that means to go. And that means to go forward, to do, to bear fruit for His name's sake. It's all you see about the progress of sanctification. I know our catechism faithfully reminds us that we have just a small beginning of the new obedience. But let's not just emphasize small, let's speak of beginning. And that is all the difference between us and those who have no beginning, who are dead yet in their trespasses and sins. And so we don't sit still. We cannot sit still. We cannot go back. We cannot sit still. We are to go forward. You see, it's ever the great temptation of me. I know that. And I wonder if it is of you to just camp there by the Red Sea and to trust in that pillar of cloud that's behind and that God who has said, I will be with you, and just camp there by the Red Sea and don't even think of going into that Red Sea and thinking to go across with some couple of million people altogether. It's not safe going through that Red Sea, is it? It's not warm enough or whatever. It's too deep. We'd get wet, we'd get cold, we would die, we think. And besides, by the Red Sea, we can, and this is how we can live as Christians. We have waterfront property. Here we are. Living, and the living is easy. Protected by God, by the waterfront, by the Red Sea. And some of you smile, but this is exactly what we do when we stand still. We have this comfort zone even of Christianity. Maybe it is, especially for us Reformed. We're surrounded by creeds and our children, and we've arrived to at a certain degree, we think, and we have the truth. And the Spirit has led us into the truth, and so we don't need to develop, surely, or to appreciate and read the creeds. That's for the ministers and so on. And we have this great heritage, and surely we're not far from the kingdom if we're just not into this stuff called theology. And God will protect us, and let's just maintain the status quo, and let's just do enough, and let's just be mediocre in our prayer life and not so radical, because I got hurt one time when I prayed and God actually told me to do something and I did it and it wasn't met well with the relation or with the neighbor. So we slink back to our mediocre praying and our praying but hardly believing that God will answer and wanting only an answer that's relaxing for us, having a confession with no action that follows. To sit still as a Christian is to be a sitting duck, as we say it. It really is. The devil loves Christians who sit still. And I don't refer to you children who are sitting still in church. That's a good kind of sitting still. I mean, you're sitting still and you're not growing. What will 2018 be for us? Will we truly seek to grow? Seek to grow. And not just say as an excuse, well, God will cause us to grow. We know that. But will we seek to grow and pray to grow and pray to go wherever God gives us to go? Faith, if it be faith, that is from heaven, is living and growing, abiding in Christ as we've studied in our Bible study, John 15, the branches bear fruit. If they don't, they're lopped off. They never were Christ. Sitting pretty is ugly. It's sitting on laurels. It's pride That kind of pride that is an easy target for devils. The call is forward, grow, travel the way to glory, the way of holiness, the way of heaven, the way of giving God all the glory, actively, consciously. Now, so that's the first thing. This going away from Egypt is the necessary way of the redeemed. The second thing, before I get into my second point here, about what truly is the manner that we are to go forward. The way forward that God commands us, the way that's our privilege to go in 2018, is the impossible way. You must know that. And I want to make a distinction here between impossible and difficult. There's a difficult way. There's a difficult way that many Christians have proposed for growth. The difficult way of rigorous self-discipline, denying the pleasures of this world, maybe to gain a goal, a prize, a medal, a promotion, even to advance in some ascetic way in Christianity. Like perhaps going to the right or to the left. Did you notice in our text, there's no right or left that's given here. There was a right or left, and we're not exactly sure where it was that Israel was camped by the Red Sea, but could be that the mountains were on the left and a swamp, a dismal swamp, was on the right. But that's not mentioned as an option for the people of God. The Egyptians are at the back. The only way is forward, right into the Red Sea. That's the only way, not right or left. And I want to suggest to you that this, however, this right or left is often the way that we can go, thinking that at least we're going away from Egypt, we're not going back, we're just going to go to the right or to the left. God has said go forward, but we're going to go to the right or to the left because that seems reasonable. That's not so hard, especially I've got children along and they're going to get hurt if I go into the Red Sea. Especially if the congregation that God has given me to lead or the elders are to lead is going to be persecuted. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get our feet wet that way, but we'll challenge the mountains. And maybe we'll be able to hide behind the mountains, or we'll be able to lose the Egyptians in the swamp. And notice here, God says, go forward. But many Christian movements have, in the way of seeking to go away from Egypt and to be holy, fallen into the dismal swamp and the ascent of mountains and monkery of every kind by the way of this rigorous asceticism and saying that it's all about who's the strongest in denying food or denying social life and so on in the name of Christ. It leads also to a certain way of worship, not commanded of God, but reasonable. Difficult way, but not the Christian way. Here's the Christian way. Always the impossible way. It always is. Why? Because it's God's way. We sang, or our call to worship was about Psalm 77. God's way is in and through the sea. That's it. His way is directly out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. Even before he parts the sea, they are to go forward. They are to go forward and to have their feet wet, trusting in God, and it could very well be, trusting in God to part the sea all that night as they're going through. Not waiting until they're sure it's safe, but simply waiting upon God and being sure of God. That's the point. Now that's impossible. But that's a good way. God's way is contrary to nature, and he would have it so that we know it's contrary to nature, our nature. Our nature is, well, we'll come up with another way that we can do. God says, listen to me. Don't deny just things to yourself, though that's important. And some of us maybe have to make resolutions. I'm going to eat less, or whatever you do. But Christianity is about denying self, not just things, self, ego. God's redeemed, God's renewed people must only be full of God. His way is straight also into the wilderness on the other side, where it's another impossible place. They cannot provide for themselves in the waste howling wilderness. How can they feed themselves? They can't. God says, you go that way. You go just that way. God says, my way is through the sea so that you can go to Horeb and be the covenanted people instituted and receive the old covenant and be constituted as my people and given all these laws that you further know how impossible it is to keep my commandments and live. That's the impossible way. And God's way, also for us today, is always the way that involves persecution and being not only ignored, but increasingly mocked by the world and the church world and even our relatives. That leads to this. Because it's the way of holiness and it's absolutely impossible, not just difficult, it's impossible for us. It must be in this way, 2018, faith. That's the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. Do you know that? Miracle is the parting of the Red Sea. God created the universe. He can part the seas that he made. He can, as he did, cause Moses to stretch out his hands and lift up his rod and then cause an east wind to divide. That he can do whatever he wants, with or without means. The great miracle also, and maybe especially here, is the gift of faith by which the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. Hebrews 11:29 tells us this. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. You see the miracle here? They were given faith. Somehow, they were given faith, this bunch of sinners gathered together in the name of God and now led by Moses, the mediator, a type of Christ, they were given faith. And they were given faith in the only object there ever has been of faith, God in Christ revealed. God in Christ revealed in Moses, the Old Testament type of Jesus Christ, almost par excellence. Christ is the object of our faith. We heard of him this morning. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the child who's born, the son who's given. He's the one on whom the government of the kingdom of heaven is laid on his shoulders, so that he holds the key of the kingdom of heaven, of life and of death. He's the way, the truth, and the life of God. And we are called here to believe in his identity. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know which way is up, remember him who came down and who now is ascended to the right hand of God because he paid for every one of our sins and did the will of God perfectly for us. You want to know your salvation and your surety of salvation, you look to Jesus. And as Moses says, in Exodus 14, verse 13, before he tells them to go forward, here's a sermon to to the people that's complaining, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Well, do you see here what Moses is preaching? When he says, be not afraid, stand still, see the salvation of God. When he says, the Egyptians will be destroyed, you're going to be saved. When he says, behold your salvation, God will work for you. He's preaching Christ. He's preaching Messiah. In the Old Testament pictures of that are given to them, and now we see this. We're beholding the work of the mediator who provides himself, who provides the atonement, who gives of his Holy Spirit, who's the way, the truth, and the life that we can trust, and whom to see is to behold that with us and men, mere men that we are, everything's impossible, but not with God. 2018, let us believe in Jesus, shall we? Dearly beloved, this is what we pray for as your elders and pastor. This is what we pray for one another and for our congregation, that we may be believing in our Savior. Do you believe? Shall you believe this year in the cross of Calvary? Little boy, little girls, shall you believe? Single people, married people, hurting people, shall we believe? You see, in Jesus, we behold the God of the impossible when we go to Bethlehem. We go to Calvary. And we behold the empty tomb. In Jesus, we see the love of God, don't we? But we see the holiness of God. And we see the great harmony of God. And we see that this God is indeed the wonderful counselor, and we trust that he's going to work all things so that in this year the kingdom comes, the kingdom of Jesus comes a little bit more and a little bit closer, and we go forward even closer and closer than we ever have gone before into the presence of God and to heaven. And maybe some of us will be taken to heaven this year. That would be sad, wouldn't it? But on the other hand, that would be a marvelous homecoming, wouldn't it? And we wouldn't want anyone back whom God took away, though humanly speaking, we might. So go forward by faith in Jesus. But let's wait, shall we? Before we go forward rather haphazardly and unthinkingly, let's take one step back as God tells us to go forward. We'd always have to do that, really, to the cross. Because sometimes we can try to go forward, and yet we have unconfessed sin. I hope you're not doing that. If there's any sin that you have not confessed, and that you're harboring, and you're wanting to take with you into 2018 because it's like a little blanket for you, and this is how you're comforted, when you think the gospel can't comfort you, don't do that. What do we confess in 2018? This is my only comfort in life and in death, that I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus, body and soul, now and forever. I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm not going to monkey and play with Christianity as with a game and think that here is Christ, that's my comfort on Sunday, but the rest of the week, it's a bottle or it's something else that I find comfort in. Go to the cross and confess your sins. Let us, before we dare to go forward. And maybe there's some of us who are unreconciled with a brother. Maybe we're not so resolved to put away sin as we should be, but we should be so resolved, shouldn't we? Go forward and seek to be sinless. Yes, that's how we should look at things. Pray to be holy, not half holy, blameless, unspotted from the world. So go forward, and that means go up, one step up, every step you take, so that you're living on a spiritual plane, walking by faith and not by sight. Go forward, but may it not be sluggishly, but stirred up in a holy love and zeal for Christ and His cause, in a holy love for the brethren. Go forward on your knees. That's how to go forward. An Israelite, the Israelites, indeed the true Israelites, no doubt, as they went through the Red Sea, were going through on their spiritual knees, as we ought to. Into this world and into this year. Forward, not to merit, but in gratitude to God. Step by step, doing the next thing. Trusting in God and His all-sufficient grace for every day. Well now, just some practical things. Two things. How to go forward and know just exactly which way is true north. I mean, right to heaven. How do you know that? How do you know that, and how do you know that, and how is it the same and yet different as it must be because I'm a different person and I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling and you have to work out yours, and there's certain decisions I have to make that you don't have to make, and though we're going to heaven in the same way and in the same direction, nevertheless, there's something we need, each of us personally. What each of us needs personally is this, the Word of God. That's how you go forward, and that's how you know which way is forward for you. Away from Egypt and toward the Promised Land. That's how you know. This is the standard, not the words and the tweets of the world. Not your emotions. Don't be guided by your emotions. Popular opinion, no. You know, in the context of here in Exodus 14, there's a lot of words that are going and flying around. For example, the words of the Egyptians. God predicts what they will say in verse 3. For Pharaoh will save the children of Israel. They're bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. He's saying, I got you. And the world today says, we got you. And they would discourage us. And they would lead us in 1,000 different ways, and maybe the young especially, but all of us. They would lead us to what they say is a better way and a less radical way forward than that Christian, Christ crucified only way. A way also that other religious people can follow so that you're not so exclusive. Those are the words of people. The words of Christian people even can be discouraging to us and lead us to compromise. We don't want to listen to the complaining Christians of Exodus 14, 11 and 12. They were complaining to Moses and they were saying that we would rather have been in Egypt now than dying in the wilderness. We must listen to the Scriptures. You believe that the Scriptures are the inspired Word of God, sufficient and infallible for every single doctrine in all aspects of life, how to get through not only, but how to thrive as a Christian. Here it is. The Bible here tells you who to marry and when. The Bible here tells you where to go to church and how often. The Bible here tells you the Ten Commandments and the 3,000 other applications that you need for your daily life. The Bible here says this is the way of contentment. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ through and through so that if you know anything else, you're going to know how to live. And you're going to know what motivates our living. The love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. So that's the Word. Shall it be our guide? Shall we read the Word this year? Really? And I'm not talking about here and there. Sometimes we read this way. That's a good passage to read. And you get through it, don't you? And you feel good about yourself. You read something. We're rather mystical that way, I think. And really, it's taking the name of God in vain when we do that. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study the Word of God. That's not just for theologians, professional theologians and ministers and so on. That's for all of us. Unless, beloved, you would go back to Rome and the Romanists who say, just so long as the church says something, we're fine. Read your Bibles. One of the great legacies of the Reformation, the priesthood of all believers. We are the kingdom of priests now, constituted not at Sinai, but at the throne of grace and of the Lamb, God's people. Read the Bible. Live by the Word of God, and in all your life seek to apply it and pray to God that He would apply it as you go forward. The second practical thing here is follow the leader. The leader is Jesus. But for your children not come of age, the leader that God gives to represent Christ to you is your parents. Follow your parents. And I praise God that we have faithful parents in this audience here. And I would commend you parents for your faithfulness. And it shows in the catechism. It shows in how they behave. It shows in their respect. Be encouraged. You're doing the thing that we're called to do as parents and leading them. And you, soon to be parents, be encouraged in the calling that God gives, the abilities that He will give to be examples to your little flock in your home and to teach them by word and precept as you grow yourself. Follow the church leaders, elders, and elderly. You know, you don't have to just listen to an elder in the church, but you have to listen to all of the elderly in the congregation. You do have to listen to elders in the office, but elderly, often forgotten. For their counsel and their wisdom, we are grateful. Let us listen to the elderly in our congregation. Let us listen to those who've been around a block or two or ten. Hear from them the wisdom of Christ by their experience in light of the Word of God. And then, of course, we need to listen to the preaching. That's how we learn of Christ, and that's Jesus speaking to us. 2018, we want to hear the shepherd speak. Hear the word that he speaks, even through your servant. Hear him shepherd you, counsel you, preach to you of his cross and the sufficiency of his grace. Hear the word of forgiveness that we hear every Sunday. Hear the word of calling us to sanctification. Hear the word of grace. In fact, everything about Moses' sermon to the Israelites in Exodus 14, when he says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Well, that's my sermons every single Sunday. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Behold Jesus in your midst. Behold Jesus at the right hand of God. Behold Him crucified. Believe on Him and live for Him. Forward then. Forward then. Put off the old man. Put off the old Egyptian, Babylonian man and put on Christ. Go forward, sovereign grace. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Go not back to Egypt. Go forward, right through the Red Sea, right into the wilderness, the direct way to heaven of holiness and godliness. Now, for some of us, that will mean putting off bad habits. For all of us, I suppose, it'll be ridding the self of Egyptian attitudes. In some marriages, there needs to be reconciliation so that we can worship together, pray together, talk together, rejoice together. For all of our marriages, it will be that we grow closer and are more servants of one another. It will be for the young people. Some of them you will choose a mate. Others will wait on marrying until we're clear and at peace with the will of God. Others will have to make decisions and how about work and how best to serve God at work. Or maybe it means giving up a position that would lead us to compromise our worship and our walk. We will have children. We will trust in God. We will be single, and God will give us the grace to be single. We will go forward. And as Paul, we will press forward, leaving behind anything we thought we could have on God to merit something with God, and wanting to know our righteousness in Jesus Christ alone. Finally, that leads to what we will expect of God. Not that He owes us anything, but simply because He desires to show Himself God always. What can we expect of God this year? God will be with us. That's what we can expect. He was with the church in the past. Look at this. And I commend to your reading the rest of Exodus chapter 14. Israel was cared for, prevented, he did, the Egyptians from approaching the Israelites that night by the angel of the Lord, barring the way between the Israelite camp and the camp of the Egyptians. And that cloud of that went before the Israelites, that also came between the Egyptian camp and the Israelite camp. It was darkness to the Egyptians. It was light to the Israelites. They could not destroy them that night. Then all that night, God told Moses to raise his hand and to stretch out his rod, and he sent his east wind, and the waters of the Red Sea parted. And all that night, God was working faith and conviction among the timid and fearful Israelites, and so that then they could walk step by step, millions together, strong and yet very, very weak. And He would lead them to go all the way through. And then He would lead the Egyptians through, or they would be hardened in their pursuit of the Israelites, and He would destroy them by causing the waters of the sea, the salvation of the Israelites, to be the destruction of the Egyptians. Well, that's how God provides for us. Church of the New Testament. He sends Jesus. And Jesus dies for our sins, and He's risen for our justification. He sends the Holy Spirit. He pours Him out. He gives the Word. He gives the preachers. And great is the company of those who preach the gospel word, and beautiful are their feet. In all of history, He's preserved His church, just as Jesus says. The gates of hell will not prevail against that church on the way from Egypt and all the way to glory. So He will be with us, too. For progress in faith, be sure of that. And one mark of progress that we need to have more, I dare say, it's called J-O-Y, joy. Are you happy? Are you happy? Sometimes I confess to you I'm the fault of some of your unhappiness, some grim and dour, maybe too much and overmuch. I confess that fault. My resolution is to be more happy in promoting holiness, more at peace with God's word, more trusting that He will truly bless us with spiritual godliness and success. You see, that's the result of Israel's going through. When they came to the Red Sea and they went through it and they're on the other side and they see all the bodies of the Egyptians there, they sing. Do you note that? Exodus 15 follows Exodus 14. And Exodus 15 is a glorious song of victory. That's how they start out. Too bad, the next chapters they're complaining. But now they're singing. And this ought to be the attitude of us, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and which is joy. And the end of the chapter, in chapter 14, they see and they fear the Lord and they believe Him and they believe Moses, His servant. They're led more to Christ. The greatest thing then is that this people is enhanced in their faith. They're led closer to heaven, closer to God, closer to one another, more loving, more, they could care less about this world, if I can say that in a godly way. We're going to heaven. We're going to enter the promised land. And it's all, you see, for the glory of God. That's why we go forward. 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 Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us. Give us, Lord, to go forward. Give us to be those who make progress in our spiritual walk, who give you the glory, who seek to gain others to Christ, but ourselves to be gained more and more by you. And Lord, in everything, may this church thrive through the preaching of the word and the command even tonight, go forward, and to trust as Jesus himself commanded the church and promised the church. As you go forward, as you disciple the nations, as you be church, the light of the world, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.